We understand that it's always easier to start something than sometimes to finish it. Anybody ever experienced that? You start a project and thinking, I'm going to get this taken down, or you know it, you've got all kinds of things going crazy as you're in the process of doing it. It's easier to get into something than to get out of it. It's easier to fill your schedule than to fulfill your schedule. Easier to get into debt than get out of debt. Mm-hmm. Anybody ever experienced that? Easier to make a commitment, easy to make one, not always easy to keep one. And we talked about life being like a marathon and how God wants to help us, looking at the life of Nehemiah. And what a fantastic story is in the lesson that we taught. Nehemiah was charged with rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem. And I mean, he had all kinds of things he had to deal with. And there were some very discouraging moments in that process that he had to face. Initial enthusiasm, everybody's ready to go. It gave way to discouragement. And we looked at the four common causes of discouragement. You should have those written down on your worksheet, right? When something takes longer than I expected. Anybody been there? Everybody should have been there. The builders had worked very, very, very hard, a lot of physical work. They were exhausted, were tired, but we can't keep up this pace. They were worn out. So it was taking longer than they thought. This isn't as easy as we thought it was going to be. And when you're tired and when you're worn out, sometimes you get brain fog, right? If you're sleep deprived, discouragement, you can be emotionally exhausted, physically exhausted. And we learned about a specific person by the name of Frederick Taylor, who introduced into the workplace, the marketplace, coffee breaks, break times for workers, and found out if they got a break and they could kind of just get themselves off of what they were doing for a few minutes, it helped them to become more productive when they came back. Then the second reason we wrote down was when something is more complicated than expected. Oh, yeah. We're trying to clean out a closet. Or empty the files, and you dump everything on the floor, and you start to sort, and you go, what do I do with all this stuff, right? It's like that in a career. And here's what happened in Israel. There was so much rubble and trash to be removed. They never had an idea what it was going to be like, a mountain of stuff that had to get moved. And let me give you the rules of rubble. Number one, rubble is a part of life. Can't avoid it. Everybody creates rubble in their lives. Secondly, you have to clean it out of your life periodically. Got to take time to get rid of it. And third, if you don't deal with it, it will take over. Because while you're not watching, it multiplies. It's more of it. And the fourth rule, you don't always recognize what rubble is in your life until it's a mountain. And then you go, man, look at all this stuff. So there's stuff you need to clear out of your life. Some that's not just things. It can be relationships, bad attitudes, misconceptions, thoughts can become rubble and become emotional and even mental roadblocks in what God wants to do in us. So come, Lord, and show me mercy, for I am helpless and overwhelmed and in deep distress. When we have a lot of rubble, that's how we feel. That's how we begin to act. So then number three, when I start to doubt my own ability, because all of a sudden you begin to look at everything and you go, you know what? I guess I'm not capable in doing this. People said, now we realize we cannot. Not will not, we cannot finish this wall. Never be able to finish this wall. They begin to personally process the magnitude of this project. And they begin to wallow in some self-pity. Oh, poor me. I've got a horrible plight. I don't know what I'm going to do. And you start complaining. It's impossible. And maybe even blame somebody else. And why did they let me down? And nobody told me how hard this was going to be. I thought this was going to be easy. At first you don't succeed, you're normal. Right? And it happens to everybody. Nobody succeeds at first. It's very rare. Successful people simply see failure as a temporary setback. the difference between success and failure is a successful person knows, okay, I took a hit. That's not going to stop me. I'm going to find a way to do this with God's help, right? You're trusting God for the comeback. So that takes us to number four. When opposition grows stronger, and man, it began to grow, and that causes fear. First, they just criticized the builders and said, what are you guys doing? You can't do this. And nobody likes to take criticism. That bugs us, right? So they criticized the builders. The second thing they did in the book of Nehemiah is they ridiculed them. When the criticism didn't halt them, they ridiculed them, made fun of them, laughed at them. And nobody likes to be ridiculed. No, nobody likes to be the brunt of somebody else's sarcasm. And then, so they criticized, they ridiculed, and then when the enemy really begins to put the full court press on, they threaten them. Okay? We're going to kill you. That's nice. Oh, thank you for welcoming us as visitors to the city. They threaten them with their lives. Meanwhile, in spite of all these three things, it's taking too long. It's too complicated. We don't know what we're doing. We doubt our ability, right? Meanwhile, our enemies are threatening to kill us in order to stop this work. So that becomes a legitimate reason to become discouraged. We might die if we finish this project. Not just frustration. It's not just fear. Not just fatigue. There's a legitimate reason. They're looking to kill us. They're putting a bounty on us. And one of the problems is they were listening to the wrong people at that moment, not listening to God. And sometimes people, even in the church, start listening to the culture and not to the Word of God. Then those of us who live closest to our enemies, kept reporting over and over 10 times, this power of repetition, that our enemies kept saying over and over, it doesn't matter where you go, we will attack you. Okay? Right. Seems like every time you turn on something related to news, it's pretty negative, right? Negative chatter, social media, people complaining, people attacking. It's going to infect your heart with fear if that's all you ingest all the time. Some people need to go on a diet away from negativity. Stop filling your mind with negative words and negative stuff that's being purported all the time. Because if you're listening to everything that's bad, and there's always somebody negative on the news, you got to get very selective about who you're listening to anymore. I mean, I go back to the days, you know, when they had some newscasters that basically would present, this is what happened, this is how it happened, this is where it happened, and then they leave it for the audience to try to figure out. I wonder what the motives were. I wonder what the perspectives were. Now they've got it all designed, and it's all planned, and it's already figured out and calculated, and they tell you what they want you to believe about a circumstance, right? You hear stuff about the government. And in some cases, rightfully so. Our government's gotten too large, both federally and here in our states. Way too big, way too powerful. Government's supposed to serve the people and not take from the people, not abuse the income that comes into the government for taking care of really important matters. But everything now is important. You just give everything away to everybody, because that's always important to do that. And that's never been the purpose of government, the way our founders saw our country. If there was going to be charity, it wasn't going to come through the government. It was going to come through God's people who were moved by the Spirit of God and the Word of God to help others. That's the way it's supposed to be. But now the government has decided, well, we'll just force you to give it to us, and then we'll decide to do with it what we want to do with it. They never envisioned government doing anything like that. You know, they're talking about impeaching the president. The stuff these people are doing, they'd all been impeached, every one of them, for the stuff they're doing, because they have violated the common principles by which this country was founded. Okay, but if you dwell on that stuff, it'll get your head spinning, and you'll get upset. Fear of criticism, fear of embarrassment, hesitation to take a step of faith because you think I might not get there. I might stumble on. I might not be capable. I, 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 I'm not perfect, and so I don't want anybody to think I'm not, right? But we're all imperfect. None of us is flawless. And we'll think, well, they may not love me because I didn't quite get it done the way I wanted to get it done. So you start having a problem handling all the pressure and the hidden fears. So we've got this frustration and this fatigue and this fear of failure and just fear in general, and they all line up to make us feel discouraged emotionally. So the Bible says, be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to the day of completion in Jesus Christ. So God's not a quitter. His intention is to finish in you what he starts, right? So how do we keep going when we feel like giving up? So here we go. Reorganize whatever is not working. Page 2. Reorganize whatever is not working. So I give you a little synopsis of what we covered, okay? Because on page 2, the top of it, that causes fear. And number 1 on page 2, what do you do when you feel like giving up? Recognize whatever is not working. Recognize. Pay attention to it. We have to do this in the church periodically. Churches are notoriously slow about doing it, but we've got to pay attention to those things. There's some programs in churches that are still going on in churches. We have modified, adjusted. We don't just throw stuff out. We look at what's good in the stuff that we're doing and then modify that so it becomes even better and more productive. But some churches won't move against anything that they've had for years, and they just get mired in things that don't work, but they just keep doing the same old stuff over and over and over. It doesn't work, okay? So recognize whatever's not working. Maybe it's in your life, maybe it's in your family, in business, on the job. You might be doing the right thing, but in the wrong way. A lot of times we get discouraged with what we're doing and we think, well, I must be doing the wrong thing. No, you may very well be doing the right thing, okay? Just doing it the wrong way. And God wants us to look at it to see if there's a better way of doing it so we get a better result. So God says, I want you to do it a little differently. But we sometimes don't move away from our routines very easily because we just want to stay with what's comfortable, even though it's not successful. Keep doing what you're doing. Do it differently. That's why once in a while I tell you, take a different way of coming to church. This coming Sunday is a great opportunity for you to do that. Because some of you don't even remember how you got here once you're here. You know? Well, don't remember the streets you turned down. You're on such autopilot. You can't even remember if you lowered the garage door. Did I lower the garage door when I left? You just do everything automatically. You're on autopilot. Switch off the autopilot and think about a new way of coming over here. And Sunday's going to be a great opportunity for you to do that. Okay? In Nehemiah 4, so I stationed armed guards, and Nehemiah is narrating this, I stationed armed guards at the most vulnerable places of the wall, and I assigned people by families with their swords, lances, and bows. So these people were not afraid to engage an enemy if they attacked. Let me explain what was going on. Nehemiah says, okay, guys, we've got enemies. They want to hurt us, and they really are intending to stop us. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to work. We're going to work on the wall. We're also going to stand guard. We're going to do two things. We're going to do productive things in rebuilding, but we're also going to be alert about an enemy who may want to come in and cause some kind of an undermining attack. So half are going to, you know, half the time we're paying attention to building, half the time we're paying attention to be on guard. What's he doing? He's coming up with a new plan. The plan before put them in a vulnerable position. They didn't give up the goal. The goal was important. They just devised a new way of doing it that made it a little less stressful for them to do it. So here's the point. When you're discouraged about something, doesn't necessarily mean you have to stop doing it. That's not the point. Doesn't mean you're doing the wrong thing. It may mean you're just doing it the wrong way. You need to make a modification. Nehemiah said, we've got to change the way we're doing this. Maybe you need to change something about your schedule or change the way you ingest food, the kind of food that you ingest. Change the way you relate to people. See, the natural temptation is to just quit, give up on the dream, and walk away. No, 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 when God's given you the dream. Well, you've got a problem right now. Well, don't give up. Just change the way you're approaching it. You're in debt. Well, reorganize the budget. Make modifications in the way that you handle the outflow of what's come in. Are you not in shape? Reorganize your lifestyle and your eating patterns and go sign up with April and get involved in the health club, right? Yeah, get involved. You're going to need to reorganize your lifestyle. You need to reorganize your time, the way you spend it. So reorganize whatever is not working. Take another look at it and put some different pieces of it together. You may have a homework project or something you've got to get done at home. It may mean you need to eliminate some things out of your schedule or out of your life, some rubble that needs to go away, or things that are not quite as important so you can get the priorities done. So you have to mentally at least make a list every single day. At least I do. Sometimes I actually have to write it down because it gets so complicated. But most of the time I get it in my head. These are all the things I got to get done. And there are some days I will not get all of them done. But I will get the priorities done. That I will get done. And I've learned how to put the priorities at the top of the list and not get distracted by lesser things that get me off the track. No, it's foolish to start a business without a business plan. I'm going to start a new business, and then there's no plan. Nobody in their right mind does stuff like that, start a business without a plan. And most Americans plan just about everything they want to do in life, and they should, right? Do you have a life plan? What about your life? Where are you going with it? Notice the plan that Nehemiah comes up with, and he posts the plan. So all the families are engaged in this. And what does it mean? He made sure they had support, that those that were doing the building and the guarding and the protecting had the support of their families. The families got engaged in helping them. So one of the reasons you get discouraged is because you try to handle everything all by yourself. So you need a support group. That's why it's important to get in the connection group among the people here. You need to be a part of a small group. And engage with other people. Hebrews 4 says, some people have got out of the habit of meeting with other believers, but we must not do that. We should keep on encouraging each other. So who's encouraging you? Who are you encouraging? Okay. So maybe the action step you need to take is, even if you're discouraged, I'm not in a small group. I don't have a support group. Get involved in one of those. He posted them by groups, Nehemiah did, put them around the wall by groups and by families. So what you need, reorganize whatever is not working. Don't give up on the dream. Look at it from a different direction and get some counsel, get some support, talk to people you know are wise in the scripture, wise in life, and let them give you some input. Number two, refocus on God. Refocus on God. It's very easy to forget about God when everything is going crazy in your life. Nehemiah 4. Then Nehemiah says, I looked over the situation. I called together the leaders and the people and said to them, don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord. Underline that one. Remember the Lord who is great and glorious. Don't you love that? That's what we need to hear. Says, you know what? You've been so busy working for God, you have forgotten God. You've been distracted by the adversary threatening you, and you're forgetting God. While you're working for God, you're forgetting who he is. Forgotten the Lord that you're working for. That's who you're really working for. You're trying to serve. You're serving the Lord. You can be so busy working for the Lord, you forget God's work in our own lives. So what you need to do is refocus on him. Recommit yourself to him. Remember who he is. Remember where you were when he found you. Remember the journey you've been on. Remember the times he's forgiven you and helped you and strengthened you and healed you. And draw on the reservoir of all those spiritual resources that God has made available to you. The Bible says when David got discouraged, it says he encouraged himself in the Lord. It doesn't say he encouraged himself by watching more TV or he encouraged himself by going out on the golf course and playing 18 holes, like some people want to do all day, right? No, it doesn't say that's how he got encouraged. Now, that might be fun to do, but that doesn't necessarily encourage you. He said, remember the Lord. So what do I remember when I'm discouraged? I remember three things. God's been good to me in my past. God is closest to me right now in my present. And God has power for me no matter what the future is in front of me. He has power for me. Goodness of God in my past, the closeness of God right now, and the power of God for tomorrow. As I don't get my mind off of discouraging circumstances, remember God's goodness, God's closeness, and God's power. You probably want to put those down somewhere. God's goodness, God's closeness, and God's power. Amen? Discouragement is a feeling. And if you want to change your feelings, you have to change what you're thinking about. My favorite verses is in Jonah. Remember Jonah, what happened to him? He was swallowed by a big fish. Here's what he said. When I lost all hope, I turned my thoughts once again to the Lord. I guess you wouldn't lose all hope in the middle of the belly of a big fish, right? There's stomach acid in there, seaweed, decaying, rotting fish. It stinks. It's dark. No light in there. Underwater. You are in the most claustrophobic environment you could ever want to be in, right? And you could panic. You could roll over and just die, quit. It'd be easy to do that in that environment, right? No. When I'd lost all hope, I turned my thoughts once again to the Lord. That's what everybody needs to do. If you've lost all hope, turn your thoughts to the Lord. David's antidote was the same thing in Psalm 119. I'm completely discouraged, so revive me by your word. By your word. Get the word of God. Audio. Read it. Listen to it. Let it get absorbed into your system so your thinking begins to get changed. So get into the word. Have a quiet time. What time is your quiet time? Where there's nothing else that's going to interrupt you. No one else. I like doing that early. Nothing going on. I can hear him. Stopped all the noise. He's always speaking. We just have to learn how to listen. Okay? We just have problems listening. Many people spend more time on social media than they do listening to God. Now I'm going to get in your space, okay? Not enough time in God's word, not enough time listening to him, too much time socializing on all the apps. That's a clear sign you don't spend enough time in the word, because the word revives, it refreshes, it restores, and it rebuilds. When you get the word of God going into your heart daily, it revives you, refreshes you, restores you, and rebuilds you. If you'll take time for that, that'll be the greatest building, strengthening environment you'll ever be in. Nothing else. And we try all kinds of other stuff. I'll go over here, and I'll go do this, and I'll look at this, and I'll pay attention to this. None of that's going to do any of those things for you. Not going to revive, refresh, restore, or rebuild you. Only God's word can do that. So I reorganize what needs to be changed, maybe doing it a different way, refocus on the Lord. Third thing Nehemiah tells us is resist the discouragement. Resist the discouragement. Okay? Those are feelings. You need to stop them by coming against them. Resist the discouragement. It's a choice. I get to make this choice. You have to fight it. You have to resist it. You have to rebuke it sometimes. You don't give in to it. Nehemiah 4. And the second part says this, then I told them, fight for your brothers. These are the people who were discouraged and wanted to quit. They wanted to run away. Fight for your brothers, for your sons and for your daughters and your wives and your homes. So Nehemiah, fight for this, okay? Don't you dare give up without a fight. So we're in a spiritual battle, in a war, every single day. I don't know about you, but I am. And we're not on a playground. This is a battleground. And as believers, we're called to engage. We're going to have spiritual battle every single day. And ultimately, it's already been won, but we're always involved in some skirmish about it every single day. And we're in a supernatural struggle, and this is mortal combat. Satan is called the accuser of believers. He accuses us every single day and would love to neutralize our effectiveness by discouraging us. And some of his favorite weapons, two of them, and I've been doing what I do for a little while. There are two favorite weapons he loves to utilize and spring on us. One is distraction, and the other is discouragement. Those are the two things he loves using to get us derailed, distraction and discouragement. Distraction to get us off our focus, right? Discouragement, resist the devil. And he will what? Flee from you. Get in a wrestling match with him. He'll run. We are at war with negative thoughts, negative forces, spiritual forces, negative emotions that rise up in us from an old nature. They want to keep us from developing our potential for God. And let me be very clear about this. If you're discouraged, hear this. Discouragement is a choice. It's a choice. You don't have to be discouraged. No one is holding any kind of a weapon to your head physically. And the reason you're discouraged is you're choosing to listen to discouraging thoughts. And you're making the choice to not only listen to them, but to believe them. You don't have to listen to them, nor believe them. But the difference between great people and ordinary people, great people simply refuse to allow discouragement to stop them. Okay? Great people are just ordinary people with an extraordinary amount of tenacity and determination. It's not, you know, I'm not that smart. It's not a matter of, well, they're just more intelligent or they have a higher IQ. No. Not more talented, not more intellectual. One thing that I've learned, I don't know how to quit. That's what I've learned. And I never, Churchill, give up. Even when things go wrong, and they do. And if God wants to use you the way he wants to use you, you're going to use the way he wants you to use you, then you cannot get up when you get fatigued. Can't give up when you're fatigued or frustrated or fearful and you feel like you're a failure. You choose to get up and go again. And when you're going through hell, you keep going. You don't stop. And maybe what God wants to say to each of us, just keep going. Just keep going. Recognize what's not working. Refocus on the Lord. Resist the discouragement. It's a choice. Let me ask you a very personal question. What's left unfinished in your life? Is there a relationship that needs to be reconciled? Is there a relationship maybe somebody's already passed on and something you need closure about and you need to pray to God about and get this mess that was left out of your spirit and out of your life? Some of you have unfinished business with God. The wall's half finished. The project is half done and you're discouraged. What have you known that God wants you to do, but you just keep pushing it, pushing it? Maybe you've been checking out Jesus Christ and considering, you know, fully committing yourself to him, but never jumped all the way in. It's just that you're here, but you're not all the way in. And here we are. We're moving into November. And it makes me think of Jeremiah chapter number 8, where he says, the summer is over and we are not saved. Yeah. So we're going into the last part of the year. Have we made the decision to get water baptized, to know him, to love like him, to live like him, to lead like him, to be obedient to him, to share him, to tell others about him? And let me talk to you about your feelings. If you're feeling down, if you're feeling discouraged, which of the four reasons might be causing that? Maybe you need to get a little rest. Maybe it's just frustration. Maybe that's some of the rubble. Or reorganizing. Structuring the way you do life. Get your goals back in focus. So the most important things are the first things you tackle, not get distracted and go off on sidebars. Maybe you need to remember the Lord and all the good things he's done for you. He loves you unconditionally. He's never stopped loving you, and he never will stop loving you. And he won't love you more tomorrow than he loves you today. And even if you've fallen and stumbled, I've got a God who forgives us and picks us back up. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And he loves giving us second and third and fourth and fifth and sixth chances, right? And we are a second chance place of grace here at Calvary Christian Center. We're a place where people can come in, and no matter how bruised up, banged up, and harmed that they are, we know God will help them because we're a second chance place of grace. And we're always ready to give people an opportunity. Who was it was talking to us the other day and about all the dilemmas and bad choices they made? And I don't know if I can go to church because of all the bad things I've done. Our perspective was, what are you talking about? Come join the rest of us. There's nobody in the room that hasn't done bad stuff and stuff that God needed to forgive us from and help us overcome and have power to be able to deal with and put behind us. And you're in the right place. Nobody's perfect in this church. We all need second chances. You need to learn how to resist the devil. Resist his discouragement. Fight for your future. Fight for your family. Fight for your marriage. Fight for your career. Nehemiah said, fight for it. Some people are barely holding on, And I'm praying that God helps you know the strength he provides us if we'll ask him. And you think, well, just isn't worth it. I just might as well quit. I might as well give up. I might as well, throw in the towel because it's too hard. It's too difficult. I've endured some pain. Some things have shocked me and rattled me. And I've got post-traumatic stress. And the answer may be right around the corner. And you're going to drop out just about the time you're going to turn the corner and reach the goal that God's planned for you. And so many people, if they knew how close they were, and they quit just before they could have won that battle. When I was young, we grew up living not too far from the ocean and the harbor, and that wasn't the place we liked to swim. It wasn't the cleanest place. So we used to go out with a bunch of kids from our youth group to a place in Branford, Connecticut. Sometimes we'd go as far as Old Saybrook, Connecticut, and go out to the beach and spend the day and have a good time, just fellowshipping. And I'd watch when low tide would happen. And, low tide, the ocean, I always enjoyed just being around it, just the sound of it. Just, when Dad had his boat, I loved going out on that. I loved it. Fabulous. Loved that. But when the tide would go out, because we'd be there for a while, tide would start to go out. It wasn't the most pleasant when the tide got real low because there'd be driftwood, junk, didn't smell real good, kind of everything that was at the bottom just kind of got left there along the shore. But when the tide always comes back in, that's what you have to remember. The tide changes, seasons change, circumstances change. Then the tide would come back in, and then it was refreshing, and the waters just seemed cleaner, and everything seemed to get cleaned up, right? So the tide may be out in your life, but it always comes back in. There's a plaque that's written in Hebrew I saw one time a few years ago. It's written in the Hebrew language, and when it's translated into English, it says, "This too shall pass. This too shall pass." It didn't come to stay. The problem that you're having, the struggle that you're in, didn't come to stay. It came to pass. Jesus gave us the strength. He gives you the power. He gives you all that you need to be difference makers like Nehemiah was, because they finished. They overcame the threats and the harm that was threatened against them and the weariness and the frustration and the discouragement, and they finished and they astonished everybody in the record time in which they got the walls around Jerusalem erected and back in place and all the rubble cleared out and security returned to the city of Jerusalem. And it was amazing because that you could see that they had low tides, and then all of a sudden they realized we can endure this low moment and we can overcome it, and we're not going to quit, and we're going to finish, and we're going to see it come to pass. And that's the way it worked out for Nehemiah. That's the way it can work out for every one of us. And he's given us steps, and he shows us in God's word, these are the patterns by which it happened. You're going to experience the same kind of things. We're not exempt for those moments. Threats, discouragement, the wrong kind of people coming into our lives and saying bad stuff to us. Clear all that stuff away. Get away from stuff and people that do things like that to you. And get near those that will encourage you and stand with you and lock arms with you, and we will build this thing together and we'll get it done. Amen? So there may be some in here tonight. You have a little fear going on in your life, a little discouragement or frustration. Maybe you've got some fatigue or a sense that it's not been working out. Kind of feel like a failure. You're worn down. Some feel like it's taking a lot longer than you think it should take. Some are thinking it's more complicated than I ever thought it was going to be. Yeah, you start some projects. I always get a kick out of these people. Don and I will turn on HGTV late at night sometimes just to kind of relax for a few minutes. And there's somebody that's, all, you know, it's a couple. They're going to buy a place. And one of them wants, I don't want any projects. I just want to move in the house and enjoy it. Okay? Got enough going on in my life without having projects when I move in the house. And there's the other partner. Yeah, I don't like projects. I want to do something. I finally get into a house that needs projects, right? And what doesn't take them 5 minutes into the program and they're working on something. And then, of course, one of the persons in construction comes in and says, well, I got some bad news for you. You know, we were fixing that over here, and next thing you know, we found this huge hole up there, and it's leaking, and you're going to have to replace this and replace that. And you go, ah! Yeah, and all the bills start going up and racking up because you start something, and all of a sudden you realize, what did I get myself into? It's a money pit, right? The contractors come in with all the bad news and all the negative stuff, and this doesn't meet code anymore, and you're going to have to tear up your floor because they took off all the tile or they took off all the carpet, and they've got this huge crack running through the entire foundation, and they've got to go repair that entire. They got to repair that. You can't just carpet over it, tile over it. You got to fix all that stuff. Crazy, right? You may be enduring moments like that, and you get bang your head against the wall, and you go, "What in the world?" So I want you to refocus. I want you to remember the goodness of the Lord. Remember God. Remember the Lord. Remember his faithfulness to you. Remember when you were in a dilemma before and how he got you through it. Remember him right now. Remember that he's given you power for tomorrow while he's with you through the process right now. That you're not going to give up. That you're going to look for the new angle that he may have for you to do this and tackle this. You know, there's ways that God has that are way beyond our own. May be fatigued. I'm looking at some of the projects we have had, some of the things we need to do to get ready for our new construction, and some of the waiting and the tide going out and the tide coming in, and a lot of things you just can't control. You know, you just can't control them. And you want to, and you want to make it happen, but you can't control it. You know, you have to wait for the favor and the move of God for the tide to come back in. And so, you know, there have been times when it's been like the tide's been out a long time, but now the tide's starting to come back in. Some good things starting to happen. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Remember your faithfulness. You don't feel like a failure. And you clean out the rubble and the stuff in the meantime. Maybe there's a relationship holding you back. You got too many things you're trying to do in one day, and you need to prioritize, and some things you're going to have to wait for another day. Because they're not that important. They're important, but not as important as the other things you have to get done. Simplify your budget. Simplify your lifestyle. And ask God to give you the power to resist discouragement and fight for your future and fight for your family and fight for your career and fight for your dreams and not throw in the towel and walk away. Remember, when I'm discouraged, there's a choice I'm making. I don't have to remember that I'm in the middle of a tough spot. What I need to remember is that I can trust you in this tough spot. I mean, nothing else to do, but I got to trust you. Anybody ever been there? Anybody there now? Be honest enough to say, yeah, I'm in one of those low tide places. I remember some low tides didn't even smell very good. Yeah, right? Yeah. So when you're in a low tide place, it's bad enough the water's out there and there's debris everywhere, rubble everywhere, and you go, yeah, that's ugly. And it doesn't even smell good here. Right? It just stinks. Life stinks at those moments. If you're in that spot, then lift your hand. Say, Lord, I need some help. I just need some help. Yeah, lift your hand. If you see somebody with a hand, just reach over. Put your hand on them. Don't be ashamed to lift your hand and say, I need a little help. If you see somebody discouraged, there's a gentleman back here who needs a couple of people to pray with him. Back of you, Jeff, behind you. And so pray for one another and ask God to help the people that need some encouragement, because we all do. And if you're not discouraged tonight, you may be tomorrow or by this time next week. So Father, help the people. These are your people. And like in Nehemiah's day, we're human. We feel things when they happen to us. And that's normal because that's the way you made us. But we can't allow negative emotions to rule us. We need to let your word rule us. And so the battle goes on between what you say and what we feel. And we want what you say to win, not what we feel. But if we cave into our feelings, we're going to stay in the pits. But if we embrace what you've said to us, we will have victory and we will go through that moment of hell, but we'll come out the other side without even the smell of smoke on us. So we thank you for that. Bless these that have been brave enough to lift their hands and say, I need some support, need some help. Just want to be encouraged. And bless all of us so that we are careful to clean out the rubble, careful to not lose our focus, careful to remember how good you are, careful to know that you are with us now, careful to know you will be with us in the future with great power. And help us to realize we can finish the assignment you gave us, fulfill the dreams you put in our hearts. We can fight for those things, and we can have the same success Nehemiah and his people did. We claim that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.